from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the closing market report for the first day of December 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. During the agricultural news, we'll hear two names that are being bantered around in Washington, D.C. as it relates to the future Secretary of Agriculture. And then we'll finish out our time together by talking with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Oh, and don't forget that Matt Bennett will be here too from Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, to take a look at the cash grain market on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this very first day of December 2016. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Thanks for being with us, Dan. Tell me a little bit about the technical picture, please.
Well, the corn market has, you know, been under the most pressure here. I mean, for the most part, we've almost kind of traced out somewhat of a sideways to lower decline since making our October and our late October high points. We've been kind of in a sideways to lower trend. For the most part, I think it's typically seasonal pattern. It's not uncommon for corn to put in a, you know, like an early October low. In this case, it was kind of like a late August low. We kind of did a little early because everybody needed to sell old crop corn before they got new storage charges, and then therefore they had their bins empty for the new crop. And, you know, have a rally during October, maybe into November, and then weaken again as we go on into late November and first part of December. So seasonally, I think the corn market is fairly correct. Now, if it's going to follow a seasonal pattern, it should begin to find some stability here by the end of the week or early next week. So far, when you look at a futures chart, lead corn futures have pulled back approximately or within a couple pennies or so of a 50% retracement of the advance it made out of that late August low into the October high point. This is a place for corn to find support on a lead futures basis. If you look at your individual contracts, they're sitting at about like a 62% retracement of the advance that we had out of that late August low. So, and then some of the technical indicators that I look at are reaching the point that they could begin to stabilize the market and maybe even see a momentum shift higher as we get this overbought technical condition kind of worked off, and then maybe have a rally as we go on into toward the end of the year. When you go over and look at soybeans, soybeans have been a much stronger commodity, trading back to, you know, 10.65 on the lead futures contract. And now it has pulled back. It's still holding above the 38% retracement level of the advance it had out of its October low point. Again, this is a period, the first week of December or so, to show some weakness. I'm in the opinion, as with corn, that this weakness should kind of subside by the end of the week or maybe by the early part of next week. And then I think soybeans will be in position then to kind of regroup and take another run to the upside as we finish off the year. So from a technical perspective, beans are very, very strong, very healthy. Corn, probably not as much so, but we're at a spot here where I think the market should hold. And, of course, wheat is probably the weakest link. We're almost to where we were in that late August. When you look at the late and you look at the lead futures on the Chicago contract. So, but again, I think wheat is at the point where it's going to be getting into an overbought condition here in the next day or two, and should again find support here by the end of the week. And I think then we'll kind of to have that recovery, and then we'll go into the holidays, and then we'll see what the new year brings.
What do you think about the South American crop, the size of it? The numbers really are showing a big crop. In fact, the latest poll suggests that it could be a record at 103.1 million metric tons out of Brazil. That would be a big crop for the 2016-17 season. Are you concerned about new crop soybeans being able to hold on, even if old crop soybeans manage a rally?
Well, yeah, that all depends on how the weather goes. I mean, a year ago at this time, we were talking about the same stuff, that South America was going to have a monster crop, and at the end of the day, they didn't have such a monster crop. And we've kind of been the big beneficiary of that by looking at our weekly export sales. Our sales pace for the current marketing year is well above a year ago's pace. But yes, we could get ourselves into a problem if South America goes ahead and produces the type of crop that is on the books. And so far, to my understanding, the weather pattern is generally favorable. There could be some concerns somewhere down the road here. But all in all, you have to, at least at the moment, kind of expect South America to recover from their production losses that they had last year. And yes, new crop soybeans sitting at $10. Farmers have had an opportunity to sell some $10 beans. I don't know. They could go to 13. They could go to 7. I know the few visits I had with a few producers, I sure was not discouraging any kind of sales at $10 and above with this recent rally in beans. It's better than the $9 beans that many farmers were talked into last winter. So, and production costs are coming down a little bit. Input costs are coming down for the U.S. farmer. So, I would think that that's probably his greatest risk longer term. Even on old crop beans, is if the South American crop comes on real strong. I was reading where maybe some of the early harvested beans are maybe only 6 weeks away. And then as that harvest begins, it'll gradually pick up in momentum as we move on into the month of February. So, yes, the soybean market, when you look at it on surface, looks like it could have some problems as we come down the road when you look at that South American production.
We'll talk more about this with you during Commodity Week. We'll record that at about 3 o'clock Central Time this afternoon. Thanks for being with us. Look forward to having you on that program in about 40 minutes or so.
Very well.
Thanks so much. That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, and we'll record that program. You can hear it on our website at willag.org, probably about 5 o'clock tonight, tomorrow, of course, here on many of these radio stations. Our other panelists on this week's edition include Aaron Curtis of Midco and Sherman Newlin of Risk Management Commodities. He's out of West Lafayette, Indiana. Well, the winter meeting season is underway, and I'll be busy on the road a lot in the months of December and January, February, and March. March usually wraps things up, and we'll bring it to a close with the all-day Ag Outlook. You can put it on your schedule now, though I have very few details for you other than the date at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. That's Tuesday, March the 7th. Next week, a little nearer to this time, I'll be on the road out to the Van Trump Conference. That's on Wednesday the 7th. And then with the Will Ag panel in Olney, Illinois at the Holiday, you can check out all the details. That's the Holiday Restaurant and Hotel there. Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Mike Zuzlow, and Gary Schnitke will be along. Thanks to the folks at Country Financial, Illinois Farm Bureau, and of course U of I Extension for sponsoring that event. If you'd like to have a Will Ag panel come to your town or village, give me a call, 217-333-9697, or email me at tgleason@illinois.edu. Well, now let's take a look at the agricultural news for the day. The Renewable Fuels Association, the RFA, says its own review of carmaker warranty statements and owner's manuals show more than 4 out of 5 new 2017 vehicles are approved for E15 use. That's up 10% from the 2016 models. Hyundai Motor Company has joined Chrysler, GM, Ford, Honda, Toyota, Volkswagen, and the makers of Land Rover and Jaguar in building E15-compatible vehicles. RFA President and CEO Bob Dineen recently pointed to the rapid expansion of E15 use as a reason the EPA just approved a more robust renewable fuel standard.
There was increased gasoline demand. There was increased infrastructure that would allow higher-level blends to be sold. That there was increased consumer demand for those fuels.
EPA approved in 2012 E15 use in model year 2001 or later vehicles, though manufacturers didn't retroactively endorse use of the blend in the vehicles already on the road. Growth Energy's Tom Bias says EPA recognizes growing vehicle demand for E15 and sees no negative impacts from raising RFS volumes.
The sky didn't fall. We saw more blending, a higher blend. No problems with vehicles. Consumers enjoyed savings in a cleaner fuel.
By the way, more than a quarter of the 230 million vehicles on the road today are automaker approved to use E15, and some 90%, those built in 2001 or later, are legally approved for E15. Well, let's move on to the Farm Bill now. If Chuck Connor, president and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives, really is a contender for Ag Secretary, as many suggest, he showed on Wednesday how he might fight for the agricultural industry's interest against challenges from taxpayer groups and environmentalists. In a panel discussion that also included representatives from the Heritage Foundation and the Environmental Working Group, otherwise known as the EWG, Connor asserted that the overwhelming turnout of rural Americans for President-elect Donald Trump and his campaign against regulatory overreach by the Obama administration means the 2018 Farm Bill should be very pro-farmer. The agriculture industry is girding for a battle as various groups and lawmakers are expected to attack the next Farm Bill by again trying to split off the nutrition title, require greater conservation practices in return for subsidies, and make large cuts to the crop insurance program. However, Connor says at the end of the day, this will have to be a farm bill that farmers themselves are enthusiastic about. Oh, on the subject of prospective agriculture secretaries, according to Politico, when former Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue showed up at Trump Tower in New York City for a meeting with the president-elect yesterday, he was certainly dressed for the part. Reporter staked out in Trump Tower's glistening gold lobby noted that Perdue marched in wearing a tie with tractor designs on it. After the meeting, Perdue told reporters that Trump did not offer him a cabinet position, per the Poole report. "We talked about agriculture, productivity, and needing new trade deals to make sure we can sell all the products we can all around the world," Perdue said. "And it was a very beneficial meeting. I found him to be very understanding of what the issues happened to be." Well, let's wrap up with this little tidbit. PETA and Crop Life are happy together. It's not every day that both People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals and Crop Life America are both happy about a new EPA issuance, but that's the case with the final guidance issued Tuesday by the agency's Office of Pesticide Programs. It gives pesticide manufacturers the ability to forego the use of skin tests on animals when seeking approval for new formulations, and has the potential to save some 2,500 or more animals from being killed in pesticide tests each year. The guidance, which remains largely unchanged from a document issued by the agency in March, comes after the OPP took a look at its testing procedures and concluded that for formulations, if oral data are available, then dermal data provide no added value to the regulatory decision-making process. By OPP's own count, the agency receives 200 to 300 dermal toxicity tests for formulations annually, which is about 10 animals per test. CropLife, the trade association that represents pesticide manufacturers, says it worked closely with EPA and others over 5 years to assess the usefulness of the agency's testing requirements. We welcome the move, says CropLife, by EPA to focus its resources on those tests that inform the human health risk assessment. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Mike Tenura. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be here.
Let's start with South America. Can you begin in Brazil? They're dry at the moment. Will they be changing?
They will be changing, especially in the driest areas. If you look at a map of Brazil and you plot out their soybean crop, you would end up seeing that the northern half of soybeans have received great rainfall over the last several weeks and even all the way back into October. The southern half, though, has had a different story, with rainfall having been fairly minimal in several key regions, especially in Paraná and Mato Grosso do Sul. So that area needs some rain. As we move forward, we see several chances for rain, not only in the dry areas, but also in those areas that have received some pretty good totals in recent weeks. So once you put all of this together, we don't think the dryness will be as significant of an issue as it is today. And that's primarily based on a couple of thunderstorm chances as a cool front dissipates, the big one being on Friday and Saturday, and then a couple more chances beginning early next week. So we don't think that Brazil will be, or at least we won't have as much concern over the dry situation in Brazil 1 week from today.
And in Argentina?
Argentina is a little more interesting in that we will see a couple of cool fronts move across the country, which will produce some thunderstorms here and there. The big question is whether or not we'll see a direct strike in some of these concentrated corn and soybean areas, because similarly to southern Brazil, the same weather pattern has been affecting much of Argentina over the last month. So even though dryness is nothing too anomalous, a lot of these areas where corn and soybeans are grown have been considerably drier than normal over the last 30 days. Now, we think they will see some thunderstorms here and there over the next week, but the best chances are generally just north and just south of the concentrated production area. If this forecast holds up, then 1 week from today, we might be talking a little bit more about Argentina because they could use a little bit of rain. Of all the crops that are produced there, the one that would be under the highest risk of some type of yield issue if it were to stop raining through the middle of December would be the earliest planted corn. They essentially plant a majority of their corn in two chunks. The first one gets planted from October into the middle of November, and then the second one begins to be planted about a week or two from now, and then lasting into January.
From South America, let's move to North America. There are some regions we should watch for both the soft red and hard red winter wheat. What kind of conditions there?
Well, soft red winter wheat and hard red winter wheat have both been pretty dry over the last 60 to 90 days. Much of the soft red winter wheat belt had a big rain over the last week, and we see another big rain coming up Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Hard red winter wheat does have some chances for rain and snow, maybe even a winter storm at some point next week or the following week, just given the location of the jet stream and a colder period that begins in about 5 days from now. But at least at the moment, we don't see anything that really tells us that that situation is definitely going to end. So we need to keep an eye on the hard red winter wheat crop going forward.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Mike Tenura is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.